So while they head out to the back room, we'll kind of go through what we've been doing the last few weeks. So we've been looking at a passage in the New Testament book of Ephesians, and we've been looking particularly at chapter 4 of Ephesians. And it's a passage that talks about kind of the church, and I suppose it's written by Paul, and I suppose it's Paul kind of instructing the church on how it should operate, how it should grow. And in this, we notice that Paul calls for the church to be unified, or he calls for unity. So he calls for us not to get divided on different issues, but to stay unified. And not just for the sake of being unified. So we're not just meant to be a cozy little club who meets every week. But he calls us to be unified so that we can build each other up to know God more and to know Jesus more and to know what he has done in our lives more. So we're meant to be unified and we're meant to actively, not passively, we're meant to actively try and build each other up. So you're not just coming here and thinking about yourself and your own faith, but you're actually trying to build up other people's faith who are here as well. Then within this passage in Ephesians, it talks about five different gifts, and these are different gifts that Paul says God has given to help the church build up. So there was apostleship, which Simon talked about last week. There's prophecy. There's evangelism. There's shepherding. And there's teaching. So these were five gifts that Paul says God has given people in the church so that we can build each other up. Now, the whole, I suppose, purpose of us doing this series in Ignite was so that we could get to know these gifts a little bit more, get to understand them a little bit more, so that perhaps if we thought that someone else in this room might have that gift, we might be able to spot it and say something to them if they haven't spotted it themselves. And also, it was giving us a chance to maybe spot these things for ourselves as well. Perhaps over the next few weeks, you might feel like one of these gifts kind of something that you might be good at. It's something that God might have given you. And this morning we're talking about prophecy. Now, I don't stand before you as someone who considers myself to be a prophet. I don't particularly consider myself to be a prophet. I suppose my role this morning is to try and explain a little bit more of what I understand a prophet to be. And I'm going to do that by drawing a little bit, so I hope that's okay. I suppose the first thing to be clear about, a prophet is just a person, okay? There's no superhero powers about a prophet. They're just a normal person, like anyone in this room, like Chris, for instance. Just a normal person. A prophet isn't some sort of a special person who has a special connection to God that the rest of us miss out on. They're a normal person. But what a prophet does is, I'm not going to draw God because that'll be pretty hard. That says goop. I'll just draw Clyde. Okay, so what a prophet does then is one of the first things a prophet needs to do is actually communicate with God, okay? So the prophet needs to talk to God and needs to listen to what God is saying. Now that can happen in lots of different ways. Obviously, a way that we communicate to God is through prayer. So we pray and we ask God to tell us something, which is what we've been doing this past week. We've been asking God to say something to us. We can hear from God in lots of different ways, so I don't want to try and box that in. You can hear from God audibly. There's lots of people who have said in the past they've heard from God audibly. We can hear from God through getting just a word that just keeps repeating in your head, or a picture, or there's lots of different ways. And sometimes it can just be like the slightest little thing, like a little nudge. And you could just ignore it and go about your day. But what a prophet does is a prophet realizes that nudge, hears that nudge, sees that nudge. So when the prophet is talking to God, then they should get a good idea, hopefully, of God's values, or I suppose you could say it's God's will. So what are the things God holds dear? What are the things that God values? So a prophet, as I said, they're a normal person. So I'm not saying that they understand all of God's values. But often God will give them something. This is something that I value. This is something. So they might understand one of God's values or a couple of God's values. It could be that God values the poor, something like that. So they will understand one of God's values. The other thing that's important for a prophet is to understand reality. Did I spell that right? I'm not sure. So the prophet has to understand the current reality, what's going on. And what a prophet then essentially does is the prophet speaks into this gap. Okay? So the prophet understands one of God's values, looks at the current reality and goes, that's not the way God would do it, and then speaks into the gap there and tries to bring those things together. So tries to bring God's value and the current reality closer together, if not completely one, if that's possible. So that's what the prophet is aiming to do. So they're communicating with God, listening to God, understanding one of his values, understanding the current reality of what's going on, whether it's in their town or in their church or in their country. So they understand the reality of what's going on, and then they speak into this gap so that they can draw these two things closer together and bring them closer together. Yeah. Often, I suppose, prophets notice the things that maybe could easily go unnoticed. They see the things that maybe an awful lot of other people would just miss, or that we don't see just because we're concentrating on other things or focused on other things. And prophets, in a sense, communicating with God is essential, but also prophets need to be courageous because often when you're speaking into this gap here between these two things, you'll be speaking against the public opinion. Whether it's a public opinion of your church or your town or your country, often when you're saying, no, actually, you're not close to what God's doing here, you're speaking against public opinion. So you need to be courageous and to do that. Essentially, prophets kind of ask maybe two questions, we could say. They ask who God is, so who is God? And then what does God require of us? What does God want us to do? And these are two questions that maybe prophets answer for us. So that's a little bit maybe of what prophets do. Now, this can all be done in lots of different ways as well. This speaking into the gap and bringing these two things together can be done in lots and lots of different ways. So it can be done through art, which Chris is going to do a bit with us later. So someone who's artistic or who can draw can speak into that gap through art. Done through like poetry or music or just speaking or writing, writing blogs, writing books. All of those things are ways in which you can speak into this gap. So there's actually lots of different ways in which a prophet can kind of operate in that sense. So how does a prophet build up the church? Because that's the thing that we're here to talk about, I suppose. How does a prophet help to build us up as a community? There's kind of maybe two ways you could talk that a prophet will work with the church. One is that they will criticize. That sounds kind of negative. And maybe it is negative. But a prophet will see the gap, that the church isn't aligning itself with God's values, and will criticize the ways that the church isn't doing that. Essentially, they'll ask questions. We're talking about churches here, but you talk about any kind of group, if you talk about a business or an organization, we need to ask questions to continue to live and to continue to move in the right direction. If you stop asking questions and you just kind of carry on, you can very easily just be going nowhere. So a prophet asks questions, and will sometimes ask very pointed questions. about what we're doing. But the prophet doesn't only criticize. And actually, if there was someone who said they were a prophet and they were only criticizing the church all the time, I'd be a little bit worried about that. Because a prophet also energizes the church as well. It gives the church a new drive, a new emphasis, a new energy, a new realization of what God's values and will is, and an energy to go after that. So a prophet criticizes and energizes the church, criticizes and energizes the things that we do and the drive that we have. Now, just to kind of finish up, maybe I think the band are coming up after me, but just to kind of hint, hint. But just to finish my bit, I also want to say that that prophets aren't infallible. That someone who says they're a prophet doesn't mean that every word that comes out of their mouth is definitely God's will, or is definitely a value of God. And I, in the New Testament, we're warned quite a lot about false prophets, and they come up quite a lot. Prophets aren't necessarily infallible. But what's important is that we test and see what people are saying. And that's important for people who think they might be prophets. Test it and see. That's important for others of us who feel like we're totally not prophets. We still need to test the words and see. So how do we test them? Well, we test them against the Bible. We test them against Scripture. Because we believe that our God isn't going to just change his thoughts and values and will on a whim. He isn't just going to change what he thinks from one year to the next. So the things that are written in the Bible, we believe, are God's words. And then if a prophet is saying this is God's value, it should align with what is written in the Bible. It shouldn't go against what is written in the Bible. So we do need to test it and to see as well. But I'm going to leave it there. We'll go into a few more songs, and then afterwards, Wendy's going to come up and speak.
Hi there. I'm not going to be long. Loads of you probably have a favourite prophet in terms of somebody who speaks into society. And often, up till about 10 years ago, prophets tended to need to be somebody with high profile. So it might be somebody like Peter McVerry, Mary Robinson about climate change, Jimmy Carter about women's rights at the moment, Mary Davis about Special Olympics, and that girl, I don't know how to pronounce it, because what her name is, Malala Yousafzai, something like that, sorry. Those kind of people are prophets about things that matter, and they've managed somehow to have a high profile, and they can speak into something exactly as Michael has shown, when there's a gap between God's values and the reality around us. And loads of you probably have a favourite prophet like that. But recently, because of Twitter, it's much, much easier to have a prophetic voice into society. And something as simple as a hashtag can become prophetic. And some of you have seen this over the weekend, in response to the stuff that happened in Paris. Suddenly something goes viral, and something that God cares about can spread practically all over the world. Countries where the press is most restricted have shut down the prophetic voice to a large extent in their country, because often the press at its best is a prophetic voice. I read an article, for instance, on Friday's paper that talked about a Greek island called Lesbos that's run out of space in the graveyard to bury people, migrants who are getting drowned, and they'd have nowhere to put them. The article was kind of a prophetic article. It was kind of saying, what? You know, wake up, people. And that's prophetic. That's speaking into the gap and saying, this is not what God wants. Okay, this is just one example. And I've snitched a few verses that are addressing one example that's relevant to us at the moment. God's message. rescue victims from their exploiters. And I was thinking particularly people who are paying for a crossing to Turkey, and they're paying thousands of dollars for a crossing that costs the tourist $25. And that's just pure exploitation. Okay. Do no wrong or violence to the migrant, the fatherless, or the widow. Do not shed innocent blood in this place. I'll be quick to testify those who do stuff, and including who exploit workers, widows, orphans, who refuse to help the immigrant, and in this way show that they do not fear me. So these are things from prophets, but they're prophets from years ago, like many years ago. I don't know if anyone knows exactly when Malachi was. I'm sure some of you do, but it's sort of 500 or 600 years before Jesus, that old, and it's still completely relevant. And the last one's F. Thanks. Very strong words. Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner. The way different translations translate that word foreigner, sometimes it's migrant, sometimes it's alien, sometimes it's because it's whether you view it from the lens of the people who are saying we don't want them around here, or from God's view, which is saying, just looking at people who are disenfranchised and have left their home place and not been accepted into a new home place. Okay, that was just to give you an example of prophets speaking into an issue and saying to God's people, that's not the way I want you to treat people. And that's an example of prophetic prophecy at a society, national or international level. I was going to show you a clip, but I'm not going to because I'm going to leave it because I'm going to take up Chris's time. Thanks.
Okay. So today, just to start off, so we've been hearing about prophecy and stuff, and we're going to do some art, which is why the tables are kind of out. And for those of you who don't have a table, sorry, you might have to like lean on the floor or something. I don't really know. But just to start off, what we're going to do is something that whenever I'm doing talks with the kids and stuff, when we do this, we play a bit of a game at the start. So the game that we're going to play, some of you have already kind of done it before, is we're going to ask God if he could play any game with you, what would the game be? And sure, ask why as well and see what you can hear. So literally just going to take a minute. And I know it sounds random, just do it anyway. No, of just anything at all. That was just to help me remember what I was talking about. So it's that you just take a minute and ask God if you could play any game with you, board game, game outside, anything at all, what would it be and why? Okay, so hopefully you've had a minute to think. So you just have to say the very first thing that came to your head, no matter how random it is. So kids do this all the time, and they're usually like screaming at you to tell me like what it is. So we'll give it a go here. Someone, do you want to say what it is that you got? What game it was?
What?
Connect Four. Okay, do you know why? Wait, did you ask why? No? It's okay, you got the start. Just go away. Well, then just ask God why as well. And sometimes we don't hear the answer straight away. But that's okay, because that's what it's like sometimes when God's speaking to us. He tells us something for the future, maybe, but we get told now so that we can pray about it and we can figure out why. So hopefully this will be something that if you got a game, you'll kind of think about and pray about and ask why that was the first game that came to your head. So does anyone else have any games you want to try? What? Oh, you do? Okay, go for it. So you can talk, just wave now. Cool. Why not? Anybody else? I don't know. Oh, he's done. Do you know why? Landseer, he said. Yeah. So you ask God why he wants to play that game, would you? Okay. So you can explain that one to me later. So anybody else just before? Oh. Did you ask why? There you go, no one expected that. Like That was good. See, so this is what I mean. It's simple. Scan. Okay. Okay. I didn't expect that. So as you can see, like, it's easy kind of for God to talk to us. Someone else said hide and seek is I heard at the same time. Oh, over here. So when we were praying at the start, I was asking people to pray as well and kind of see maybe what games they got and things, and I'm sure it made no sense at all, so hopefully it does now. But the games that I got were, there was a few, and two of them I don't even know what they are, to be honest, so I'm just going to go with it and go for the best. Like, so Twister was one, and the reasoning was that God likes to get stuck up in our mess with us, so like when we feel like we're tangled up and there's kind of chaos and stuff, that God wants to be in and among that kind of with us. I had hide and seek as well. That was the second one I had down, and the idea was that like we can hide, but God always knows where we are. So it's not a very fun game, I would say. But then Game of Life, I don't know if any of you have ever played that game. What I felt like was with this one was just that God's just saying like he wants to do our everyday with us. So in the game, there's different cards and different things that you get. That tells you the way that you've lived your life, and I guess like God's mapped out what way our lives are going to be, but we still have choice like in it as well. But that God just wants to be in that with us in our everyday. Then this is the game I have no clue how to play, so I just whispered to Tara and I was like, "What's Risk?" So I got this game Risk, and I've no clue what this is. But so we'll go with that one. I'm not really sure of the reason why. And that can happen sometimes, but I guess the games that I got were more of a, I was asking God for people maybe who wouldn't or don't feel like they had a game, but maybe there's something there that you can relate to. And the last one, I have real trouble like even knowing what it says, was it? Right, Labyrinth, really not got an idea what this is. But the idea was that, as far as I can see from the picture, it's like there's different ways of going around on the board, and there's blocks along the way, so it's kind of overcoming obstacles, and God kind of saying that he'll never leave you in it. Again, I've never played this game, so yeah, we'll see. I'm not really sure. But yeah, so basically, we just done that to show you that God will talk to you about anything. So if he'll talk to you about a game that he wants to play or something, then like, how much more do you think he's going to want to talk to you when it comes to something that's really important to you? Or what's important to him, or what plan he has for you, and what he wants you to do. So just kind of bear that in mind as we go along, because it's only going to get a little bit stranger along the way. So we'll go with a chair. So can I have the next slide? So this one's a bit gross. But sure, it's fine. So why we picked it was, again, more pictures and stuff that I was seeing. So like the old style kind of like radios, and it was the idea that we have to tune in and be... we have to want to hear God. It's not just a thing of, oh, I didn't hear him. Sometimes we can be afraid of what we think that we're going to hear, and it's like that we have to choose to tune in and to listen. And then Wendy had this one, and I quite liked it, even though it was a bit gross. And it was just like about how sometimes we need to clean, have our ears cleaned out, like our syringed, because sometimes there's different situations that make it hard to tune in or to hear God. So that was just two ways of thinking about kind of prophetic art and hearing from God. The other way that I like, and I would always kind of explain it, would be like a phone call, which again is a bit random, but it's kind of like what Michael was talking about the way that it's a two-way conversation. So it's not just us praying and constantly asking for things maybe, or even if it is us thanking him and things as well. Like God wants a response. Like he wants to communicate with us as well. And it doesn't necessarily have to be true art. But I just think it's something like the tuning in part that it's important to remember, because some people just think that God maybe doesn't speak to them. Well, maybe he's just not speaking in the way that you're expecting, like an audible voice. But actually today we wanted to show you that there's other ways, and that it's not a scary thing, that it's actually quite normal and it should be part of our like everyday.
You wanna the next one? Thanks.
So, again, breaking it down a little bit more, I think prophetic art can be a bit of a, I don't know, kind of like scary word. It's very, I didn't really like it at first either. So I just wanted to kind of break it down a bit. And the way that we've chosen to break it down was creativity and prophecy together. So we're going to do prophecy first a bit. So can you go down? So the first action, like the first verb in scripture is bara. I think I'm saying that right. I'm not really sure, but it means to create. So after God had created man, man's first assignment was to participate in creation as well. So in Genesis 2, It talks about Adam naming the animals, which I thought was pretty class. So God didn't need Adam to name all the different animals, but after he had created them, he was definitely able to name them himself. But he asked Adam, and invited him to participate in creation. So like, we were made to be creative and to share in creation and stuff as well, in whatever way that looks. So I know that sounds a bit random, but if you just picture it like this, right? Adam's looking at a baby hedgehog or something like this, at this point hasn't got a name, and God's just asking him, what do you think, what should we call that one? So again, it's like there's choice. We're allowed to create and to come up with things. That was pretty cool, I think. I don't know where hedgehog came from. It's kind of random, but so God wants to create with us, and he's made us to be creative. Since we're made in his image and he's created like this world, like, then we definitely have some sort of creativity built into us. So whenever we say things like, I'm not creative, or things like that, or I can't do like art, maybe you're just thinking of it in a certain way, but actually you can draw and create in whatever way it is that you want to, because that's how we're made to be. And somebody put it like, we're denying our birthright and our kingdom identity, which I thought was like pretty hard hitting, so I like that one. So then down to prophecy, then is, I know we've done lots of different verses on prophecy, but I have another one as well. So in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul writes about how we're all to eagerly seek the gift of prophecy. So just from the very start of it, it just says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And it goes on a bit down, and then it says, but for everyone who prophesies, speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So I think that that's something that's important that we have to kind of remember when we're doing this, that the gift of prophecy is for the purpose of strengthening people, encouraging them, and it's supposed to be comforting when we hear it ourselves as well. It's not to direct or correct people, but it's to bring out the best in people and help them to see God in whatever way that might be. So putting them together, we have prophetic art. So putting them together is creativity and prophecy together, and just kind of seeing what happens in that and what way God talks. So again, talking or hearing from God isn't supposed to be something that only special people can do, as Michael said, or it's not supposed to be something that's scary. It's just supposed to be something that's like a part of our everyday. So it's important to remember that we can talk to him in so many different ways, and if art isn't one of the ways that you feel God is using to speak to you, then that's okay. Just try, it's good to try different things out and see what way works for you.
So you can go down the one. Okay, so prophecy starts with presence and not performance.
Kind of explain that a little bit now. So,
yeah, you can go down, sorry, Zeph.
So, which basically means that when we ask God to give us a picture or a word, it's again strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. And then we trust it's from God if it is those things. So it's not about skill level, that's what this one is. If all you can draw is a stick man, that's okay. A stick man is good enough. Or if you consider yourself an artist as well and you can do it like this, then that's fine too. What's important is detail, and like whatever details you see, it's just putting them down in whatever way you can. And sure, when you're explaining it, it kind of helps to explain the pictures, Ellen. The others will understand. Color is also something that's really important when we're doing the pictures. So if you see something in color, try, even if like it's a mountain and you know that mountains aren't normally purple, sure, just draw it in purple anyway, because there's generally a reason, again, for it as well. And all the colors mean different things. I know that sounds a bit like in-depth again, but we'll bring it back a little bit. So some people, as Michael was saying, see like colors, or they feel something that goes with a picture, like they have a feeling of maybe sadness or whatever it is whenever they're drawing it. Other people see the pictures like visually. Some people hear words like audibly. Some people hear a line of a song, and that's okay too, or a quote that goes over and over in their head. Or some people are like, will dance as well, or like there's the flag thing apparently as well. And like, so I know there's like lots of different ways of doing things. So whatever way God speaks to you, it's just about putting it down on the page, and the impact of what you create is to bless somebody, and it's not linked to your artistic ability, because it's not about us, it's about what God wants to say through your stick man or whatever it is that we've drawn.
You want to go down to the next one?
So we put up the leaf the faith side, because I know that this for some people isn't something that maybe makes them too comfortable. And it's probably a little bit different and maybe unusual. But today we're asking that maybe you just give it a go and kind of just go along with it. So in a few minutes, Wendy is going to come up and pray and ask God to speak to us for a picture or a word or whatever way it is, even if it's something that I haven't mentioned. There's paper on the table and we want you just to kind of give it a go and just put it down. Even if you think whatever you have in your head, like the Purple Mountains, or you'll all probably think of Purple Mountains now I've said that, but like anything at all that you get into your head, as random as it seems, just put it down, because there's an explanation for everything. And but like, even if you don't understand it right now, you may understand it later on, and it's something that you can kind of take and keep praying about. And just remember the things about the colours as well. So just put it down in whatever colours you see, or if you don't have the colours, maybe just write next to it what colour you saw it in. And just to remember, it's not something to be afraid of. So we're going to be around the room, and I'm not saying I'll understand what's on your page, or that like we'll definitely know what God is saying, but sure, we can give it a go, like, and kind of pray about it and talk through it with you. So Wendy's going to come up and pray for us.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, help us now to take that leap of faith, take the risk, and ask you to show us something, speak to us, whatever way you choose to put something into our heads that we weren't thinking about 2 minutes ago. And Lord, help us to just kind of have a bit of fun with you, really, Lord, and let you, let ourselves be open to you, please. Speak to us now, Lord, I pray. Amen.
So there's going to be a video on the screen as well. You don't have to watch it. It's just actually it's someone doing like a type of prophetic art as well. But there's pages on the table as well for you to just give this a go and see, and yeah, see what happens. So I know that seemed a bit random, but hopefully some of you have had like different words or pictures or verses or whatever it is. If not, maybe just take another minute to pray again yourself quietly, and put something down. There's another, we're going to leave for another few minutes, and then whenever you're done, if you want to just even bring them up to me on the side, and I'll explain what we're going to do next time with them.